Now, verse 2 begins, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The literal is, to us God spoke in the Son. Now, we see here, he's saying, he hath in these last days spoken unto us. And the us, I think, is very important. He's spoken to the same ones that he spoke to the fathers by the prophets in the Old Testament. Therefore, these were Hebrew believers. Now, if God has given his final word in the Lord Jesus Christ, then this is the final word for you and me today. And you remember the Father out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And he is the one that is before us. Now he says he hath spoken unto us by the Son. Therefore Christ is superior to any of the Old Testament writers because the revelation is filled up in him. He fulfills all of the Old Testament, and he himself gives God's final word to man. Or as we said last time, if God spoke out of heaven today, he'd just have to say something that Jesus has already said because of the fact the final word came through the Son of God when he was here 1,900 years ago. As he himself said, the Spirit of God will take the things of mine and show them unto you. And the Spirit of God, speaking through John and James and Dr. Luke and Paul, has given us the full revelation from God. And now he shows the superiority of the Son in 7 matchless statements that we have here. And these statements, I'm sure that none of us feel like that we comprehend any one of them completely. Now I want us to notice it. I'm reading verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, 2 of the statements are here. Number 1 is, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, that reveals the program for the future. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. But very frankly, there's something here that we need to look at rather carefully. All things were made by him, John says, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it belongs to him already. Creation is his, for he created it, we're told. And so how can he be the heir of all things? May I say to you, he came down to this earth and took upon himself our humanity. And the first man in the human race was given dominion over this creation. And we don't emphasize that enough because in Genesis, tremendous statements are made with just a few words. We had one of the Christians in Israel when we were over there some time ago speak to us, and when he came to the end of his message, he wanted to give an illustration. He says, I want to say this to you in little words. And what he meant was few words. He intended to make it brief. Well, that's the way Moses wrote the first 11 chapters of Genesis, with little words. And when I say little words, he's stating it briefly. And when God says he gave to man dominion, he didn't make him sort of a first-class gardener to set out rose bushes and prune the plum trees. That's not what Adam did. Adam had dominion, and dominion has to do with rulership. All creation was under him. I think that when he wanted it to rain, he called in the rain. I think that when he wanted the heat turned on, why, he turned it on. I think he controlled this earth. Now, he lost that. And when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he became a man. And you'll notice that one of the reasons he performed certain miracles He performed them in every realm, the natural realm, the physical realm. He had control of the human body, had control in nature. He could still a storm, and he could feed the 5,000. He recovered that. Now the Lord Jesus is going to be heir of all things. He recovered what Adam lost. And we're told in Scripture that we are heirs of God also, and we're joint heirs with Christ. Now, that's an interesting word, joint heirs. And that doesn't mean equal heirs. Let me illustrate that. Some folk have been very much interested in our radio and have given it wonderful support, and they'll mention us in the will. And sometimes they put us in as a joint heir and sometimes equal. Sometimes they say, well, I want so much to go to this mission cause and so much to the through the Bible. Well, that's equal, that is, each one of us. And we could squander it, I guess, if we wanted to. But you can be sure of one thing, we don't do that here. But the thing is, it would be ours. But sometimes you're a joint heir. And that means somebody else has control of all of it, and they just allocate out so much to each one at the proper time, and they manage the estate. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the heir, and we're just joint heirs, and that means that he still controls it, but he may let me have a little patch somewhere. He may give me charge of some little something, but that's the way that we're joint heirs today with Christ. So that we have an inheritance, friends, that's incorruptible, it's undefiled and unfading, and it's reserved in heaven for us. Why? Because of the many wonderful things he did for us, he recovered what Adam lost, and even more than that. And we today are joint heir with him, so that he's the one that's going to inherit everything. And as far as I know, no prophet was ever promised that in the Old Testament. Now we're told a second thing here, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, a great many people interpret this as to creation, that this refers to Genesis 1:1. Well, actually, it does not refer to that at all. The word here for worlds is aeon. It means ages, by whom he created the ages. Now, frankly, that's a little bit more than just creator. That lends purpose in everything. As the heir, that gives the program for the future. And now, in the fact that he made the ages, that's purpose in everything. Now, he not only created everything, he did it for a purpose. And so, the Bible makes sense, friend. God created man, put him in a garden, and put down one condition. He was not to eat of a certain tree. Well, there was nothing wrong with that tree. I think the fruit on it was good. But that was God's test of that man. And after all, it was not the fruit on the tree. It was the pear on the ground. That's where the problem was. And so man absolutely and completely failed at that time. God has a program, you see, and he has a purpose in everything. And so there comes on another period in which God tests man, and then he gave man the law, and today you and I live under grace. That's the way we got in. We'd never be able to get in the law. It wasn't given to us to begin with. And the second thing is, you and I can't keep it. We can't measure up to a righteous standard that God has set. And God just can't save us by works at all. And I think that ought to be quite obvious to every person that God just can't save us by works. And the reason for that, I think, is very satisfactory. He can't save us by perfect works because you and I can't offer that. We can't measure up to it. And he can't save us by imperfect works because his standard is higher than that. And therefore, God had to have another way. And today, it's by grace you're saved. Now, the Lord Jesus not only is the creator, but there is purpose to this universe. This universe that you and I living in today, it's not running at breakneck speed through space and time. Where in the world could an idiotic notion like that originate? That you and I are living in a universe that's running wild today, and that it's like a car that's lost the driver. The interesting thing is, when a car loses the driver, there's a wreck. And this universe, according even to the scientists, has been running millions of years. And it's been doing pretty well, by the way. The sun comes up at a certain time every morning. It's certainly very precise. The moon out there, they can send one of the men that works on the module here, that every one of them that's been to the moon, he says all you got to do is aim it, and the moon will be there when the module gets there, because you can always depend on it. It's not running wild. Suppose the moon, when it would see this module coming, say, I'm going to fool those boys, and he heads back another direction. My friend, this is not a mad universe that you and I live in. It has purpose in it. And the Lord Jesus is the one that gives it purpose.